Two medication companies that shouldn't be mixed, according to the government. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Trade Commission is trying to block drug manufacturer Amgen from buying a smaller drug maker. The FTC filed a lawsuit yesterday to block the merger. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains why the Biden administration does not want the deal to go through.
The issue for the FTC is competition. The agency says if Amgen is allowed to buy Horizon Therapeutics, consumers will suffer. Horizon makes high-priced drugs to treat rare diseases, medications for thyroid eye disease and a type of chronic gout. The FTC says if the merger goes through, Amgen could pressure insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers into favoring the Horizon drugs over competitors by offering them higher rebates on other blockbuster drugs. Amgen says it would not try to bundle these medicines together and is still committed to the merger. The FTC has challenged more mergers under the Biden administration, raising antitrust concerns in the technology and healthcare sectors. In a statement, the FTC says what it calls rampant consolidation has given some pharmaceutical giants, quote, a pass to exorbitantly hike prescription drug prices. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The IRS is launching a pilot program for people to file their taxes directly and electronically with the government instead of going through a tax prep company. Most taxpayers want this option, according to a 9-month study from the IRS. A few years ago, Lithuania allowed Taiwan to open a representative office in its capital. The office was called the Taiwanese Representative Office instead of Taipei. That angered China, which claims Taiwan as its own territory. In retaliation, China halted its imports from Lithuania. This is what the U.S. and allies call economic coercion, basically economic bullying. And there have been many examples. Years earlier, when Japanese authorities detained a Chinese ship captain after a collision, China shut down the exports of rare earth metals to Japan. This type of coercion is a major topic for world leaders at the G7 summit later this week. So we now turn to someone whose job it is to deal with economic coercion, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai. Ambassador Tai, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm very glad to be here with you.
Is there a risk that this kind of activity, this kind of economic bullying could affect U.S. companies, U.S. people?
Certainly. I think that for the U.S., we're in a slightly different position because we are such a large economy. I think that smaller countries, smaller economies are much more vulnerable to the bullying because they're much more easily, significantly impacted. But even so, you have seen in the past that the Chinese government in Beijing has responded to actions that the United States has taken by, for instance, targeting U.S. agricultural exports to China. So certainly we have experienced our share of punishment, if you will, for things we've done that Beijing has not liked.
I mean, China would say, has said, that the U.S. is the one doing the economic coercion, whether it's we pushed hard to prevent underwater cables from being built by Chinese companies, or, you know, we have these electric vehicle subsidies that angered even our allies. How are we different?
Well, we have a very transparent system. And I think what I would like to highlight is when we impose economic sanctions like we have on Russia, they are designed to punish the Russians and to induce the Russians to stop their invasion of Ukraine, right? But the distinctions are, first of all, that we are of the view that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a violation of international law and norms, and that the measures that we have taken in response are undertaken in, again, a transparent way under a legal framework that is allowed for by international trade and international law rules.
For a while, we lived in a world where the WTO could settle these kinds of disputes. And I know the U.S. and Europe and Japan all say they support WTO principles, but right now the WTO is kind of dead. So do we just now live in a world where it's just every country for themselves?
I would say that the WTO is not dead. It is very much alive. We are committed to the success of the WTO while recognizing that there are important parts of the WTO that need to be reformed with respect to these forms of economic coercion that we have seen. Because they are not identifiable quite often as a measure that is taken in response to a political action, they are nearly impossible to challenge at the WTO as such. Suddenly, if you're Lithuania, for instance, one day you discover that all of the goods that are coming from your country are just stopped at the border. And when you ask why they're not moving, maybe you get a response like, well, we have concerns about the safety, you need extra inspections. So you'll see that the European Union has actually taken a dispute to the WTO challenging China's refusal to accept imports from Lithuania. But that the challenge there is that there's an amorphous measure. There's just a de facto action for the EU to complain about. And that is a very difficult case to prove within the WTO system.
U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can hear a longer version of our conversation at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.